couple weeks ago, we talked about grit. How many were here when we talked about grit? And when we talked about grit, we looked at a psychologist, and she said, who had studied this, she was a teacher. Do you remember this? And she said, you know what? She was a teacher in junior high, and she said, you know what? What I noticed was my best students many times weren't my smartest students. But they were always my most gritty students. And I wanted all my students to thrive. So she went back to school. She got her degree. And she became a psychologist. And she started to study really life and what caused people to thrive. And what she saw is this grit was a major component and in people really having an abundance in their life. But I loved her candor. She said, you know, that we understand how important grit is, but we don't know why some people have it and some people don't. And we spent that week, I said, if she was here, I would like to be able to teach her why people have it and why people don't. Because you know what, Eric, I am amongst the most gritty people that we know. They're right here at Hope Community Church. And if I was able to talk to this lady, this doctor, I would say, doctor, let me tell you what causes grit. God causes grit. Understanding that God is real and he cares for you and it makes a difference. That is grit. Well, I've been meditating on this, and I want to talk to you today about leadership. Because what she said at the end, here's what she said. She said, even though we don't know what causes grit, we're studying it, and we seem to figure out where a lot of the research is showing that people who are optimistic, people who recognize that they can change tend to be gritty. I thought, hey, lady, I can save you a bunch of time, you know what, and just teach you what the word says because God knows all that, you know what, you know, before you ever studied it out. How many know God understood when everybody was saying, all the smartest people were saying the earth is flat? How many know, you know what, in the Old Testament, God talks about the earth being round? Hello. Come on, somebody. How many know this is true? How many know the Navy spent, you know what, millions and millions of dollars? You know what they studied? They wanted to study what was the most the configuration of a boat that would not capsize. What was the most stable, you know, vessel? What are the dimensions? Spent all this money figuring it out. Guess what they came up with? The same dimensions that are in the Old Testament that God told Noah how to build that boat. Amen. How many know God knows how things work? I want to talk to you about, you know what, leadership. And I want to talk to you about just very quickly some things that leaders are doing and the things that we need to do to become leaders and be leaders. You know, if Tamara and I are going to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish, you know what? And understand this. You know, I like what John Maxwell said. He said this. He said that if you can accomplish your vision by yourself, your vision is too small. And I would even go beyond to say, wait. This isn't Tamara and our vision. We're just the leaders. But the truth is, this is our vision. Amen? This is our church. And because it's our church, we're called. How many know I'm called to do some things that are very, very important? Come on, can I get a bigger amen than that? Amen. Come on, that was a weak sister. How many know Tamara and I are called to accomplish some incredible things in our life? Amen. Amen. Well, how many know, you know what, that God is going to hold us accountable to that? See, God has created you for a purpose.
you know, and purpose needs to be more just, you know what, to sit at home and eat, you know, Doritos and, you know what, and eat taquitos. Amen? Is that not right? It's absolutely true. But how many know God has called you to do some great things? See, listen, Tamara and I are leaders, but you're leaders. God is raising you up. This vision that we're going to do, it's not going to be Tamara and I, it's going to be us. What are we called to lead? We're called to lead all kinds of things. One thing I'm called to lead, I'm called to lead my kids. Amen? How many know you're called to lead your kids? You're called to lead your grandkids. You are leaders. Look at your neighbor, say you're a leader. Listen, you're a leader. People are looking at you. You're called to lead your kids. You're called to lead your grandkids. They're looking for leadership. They don't know. They don't know. Amen. Amen. You're called to lead the people around you. At your work. You go to work like I, you know what? I worked for 25 years in the grocery store. Was bivocational for 10 years. You know what? Pastoring the church. You know what? Running out, getting into my car, putting on my smock and going to Albertsons. Oh, come on. You know what? But when I was going to Albertsons, I was a leader at Albertsons. You know, I didn't put a big, you know, you ever gone to Home Depot and they write their name real big on their thing, you know what? Kimberly or you know what? Steven, you know what I mean? You ever see this?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't write that on my smock. I'm a leader. No, leaders don't need to write it on their smock. I just was a leader, amen? What am I leading? I'm leading them to say, hey, why are you so bummed out, amen? What is your problem, amen? I didn't walk in and go, man, what is your problem? I didn't say that. But you know what? I walked in with the joy of the Lord, amen? You know, they're looking at me because I kept on going like this. Pastor, what are you doing? I'm looking at goodness and mercy. They follow me all the days of my life. Amen? See, and you know, you said, you didn't do that. Oh, my goodness, you weren't there. I do all kinds of stuff like that. Amen? You don't want me to start singing, do you? Yeah, see, you're baiting me. What I'm saying is, you know what? I used to sing at the grocery store and they would, I would sing out of tune on purpose. You know what? You know, and I would sing songs that I couldn't hit the notes. You know what I mean? Right. Loving you is beautiful because you're so beautiful. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. La 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 la. Doo 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 doo. Come on, somebody help me. Yeah. Pastor, why would you do that? Here's why. Because just to break the crazy negativity that was in that store. Amen. What I'm saying is, listen. But Pastor, I'm not like that. Well, listen, lead in your way. You know, truth be told, I know you won't believe this, but truth be told, I really am a quiet person. I know they wouldn't believe it. People who know me well know that that is true. But see, I'm called to be a leader, and you're called to be a leader. People need, you know, remember the Bible says, yeah, but the Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. That's right. And Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Greater is he that is in me. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, lives inside you. See, you know what? Listen, when you got born again, you got lit. So what are you talking about? You got lit, man. Amen. See, he lives inside of you. Now his light is inside of you. So the Bible, Jesus said, let my light shine so that others will see your good works and glorify my Father in heaven. Yeah. See, you have a responsibility.
You are a leader. I don't care how introverted you are. I don't care how extroverted you are. I don't care if you got frizzy hair or you shaved your head. God has called you. God has called you to make a difference. Amen. You're called to be a leader. Optimism and faith, hope, are a key, you know what, are a key to us being or having grit. So we need to understand that God has placed this, you know what, he says this, that hope doesn't disappoint. Then the Bible says that the love of God is being poured into your heart. See, listen, we can't afford to be discouraged. We can't afford to be melancholy. We can't afford to be, you know what, depressed. Amen. Why? Because, you know what, the love of God is being poured in your heart. See, pay attention to what God is doing. And God is calling up leaders. So I want to just talk to you about what a leader looks like. And I won't take very long. I'm just going to flow through these real quickly. But write these down. They're important. Yes. Number one, a leader is spiritual. Yes. Somebody say a leader is spiritual. You say, but no, Pastor. I know a lot of leaders that don't believe in God. They're not spiritual at all. Well, here, let me just say this, and I'll say this. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I don't mean to be disrespectful in any way, but understand this. The Bible says, how many know you're going to die someday? Come on. You're going to die someday. And when you die, you know what? You're going to find out that God is real. Amen. You're going to find out that God is real. But all of us are going to die someday. You know what? And so, you know what? We've got to understand that for these people that are accomplishing what the world would say, oh, they're accomplishing such great things. Here's what the Bible says. All our works, all the things that we do in life are going to be thrown into the fire. And if you have a cell phone, could you turn it off right now? Sorry. But here's the deal. All our work is going to be thrown into the fire. And the only thing that is going to stay, the only thing that's not going to be burned up, all the stuff that we do selfishly and out of just an evil motive and all that stuff, it's all going to burn. You know what? If you want to be a real leader, understands God is real, and there's a spiritual realm. How many know the spiritual realm is more real than the physical realm? Please understand, if you're going to be a real leader, you've got to lead from that strength to understand God is real. Amen. And I don't care what you're doing, if you put God in the equation, you'll be better at it. You'll be better at it. No matter what it is. If you're a swimmer, you'll be a better swimmer. If you're a lawyer, you'll be a better lawyer. If you're an electrician, you'll be a better electrician. No matter what it is. Understanding spirituality is a key to real leadership, number one. Amen. Number two, you know what? Leaders take initiative. Somebody say, take initiative. See, a leader says, here's a problem. I'm going to figure out how to fix it. They take initiative. You know what? When we were in the North Sanctuary, the problem was there was too many people. I remember thinking, well, there wasn't too many people. The room was too small. And I remember thinking, you know what? I remember praying. It was Easter service was coming up, and I remember praying for a certain number. And I remember, you know what? How many of the Holy Spirit will speak to you? I remember thinking, how in the world are we going to get all these people in the North Sanctuary anyway? That's right. Even if they came, where would you put them? And then God revealed to me, well, we already have a place. You just got to tear down a wall and tear off a roof and rearrange all the electrical and do a bunch of stuff. But God, look what is right there. So when I had that idea, you know, I remember talking to some of the other leaders about it, and they were like, oh, that's a great idea, Pastor. I'm so glad you came up with it. I mean, no, people around you sometimes, you know what, boo-hoo your ideas. Amen. But see, leadership takes the initiative about stuff. You know what? You're proactive. Think about David. Look at 1 Samuel. I have it up here on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 36. Look what it says. David says this, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the enemies of the living God." Goliath is out there, you know what, just mocking the reality of God in front of all the army of Israel, and all the army of Israel is intimidated because of his size. And look what happens. David, a real leader, stands up, steps up to the plate and says, I tell you what, I'm going to take care of this. That's what leadership is. Leadership is sees a problem and fixes the problem. And is not necessarily looking for other people. A leader will go it alone if he has to go it alone. Does that make sense? Why? Because he takes initiative. I love this story because, you know what, some people forget this story. The end of the story is a great story, but leadership is infectious. You know, if you start leading in the right direction, you'll turn around, you'll have a bunch of people behind you. You know, all these, you know, how many know people tend to be negative? You know, sometimes, oh, it'll never work. That'll never happen. Yeah. You know, that's what most people do. Leaders are not intimidated by people who just talk a bunch of trash. They say, listen, you know what? You can go with me or you can go without me, but the boat is leaving the deck. Amen. The dock. Is that not right? Are y'all here today? David says, I tell you what, I'm going to make this happen. And he even has the king trying to come up with a different solution. Ooh, you know, put all this armor on you. You know, David's walking around with all his armor. You know, he's like, get this stuff off of me. No, he's going to take initiative. He's going to say, no, this is important. Listen to me, guys. There's things that God has called you to do that is really, really important. You know what? You have to recognize, you have to take initiative and say, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to lead my family. This is what I'm going to do. You know, at some point in time, you know what? You had all kinds of teen challenge. You had all kinds of people who were telling you, you know what? You're always going to be that way. You know, we've seen, you know, you're always going to be that way. But you had to pick your, and recognize, no, I'm changing. Amen. You know, some of you have been addicted to pornography, and it's ruining your marriages. Listen, guys. I don't care what the world says. Here's the reality: you can't, you know what, look at another woman with lust and be loyal to your wife at the same time. Come on, women. Can you say amen to this? And let me tell you, man, and I don't care. Yeah, but I've been doing that for years and years and years. It's okay. Everybody says it's okay. No. You take some initiative. You recognize, no. It's not okay. I'm going to be loyal to my wife. Amen. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number one, you know what? Leaders are spiritual. Number two, leaders take initiative. I love what John Maxwell said. He said, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. That's good, huh? A leader is one who knows the way, he goes the way, and he shows the way. You know what a leader is? A leader is patient. Say a leader is patient. Look at Galatians chapter 9, verse 6. You know this verse. Look what it says. Galatians chapter 9, verse 6. Look what it says. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not lose heart. Listen, good leadership says, here we go, and listen, it might not happen overnight. How many big dreams don't happen immediately? But we are in a microwave society. Do we not? And so we get caught up in that microwaveness. Do we not? Like you know this happened at some point in time. How many remember when your microwave didn't have a popcorn button? And somebody at GTE, you know what? Somebody, they were talking to somebody, and some probably, you know what? Probably some young person, amen, smart, you know what I mean? Said, oh, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's just really ticking me off. Because I put my popcorn in there, and I got to press 300. It's just too much. Why don't we have a popcorn button that we can save time and just hit popcorn? Yeah. Amen? And somebody said, you're a genius. You're going to get a promotion. You saved the world a whole 2 seconds. Yeah. And we get caught up in that. No, no. Good leaders are patient. They recognize that what is going to be accomplished is going to get accomplished, and all I have to do is not stop. Amen. I'm just going to continue to make this happen. Amen. Do you see the outdoor project? Do you see it? Yes, some of you see it with eyes of faith, but do you see it with your physical eyes? Do you see it? You don't see it. Amen. Who's pushing it? Who's mainly pushing it? I'm pushing the vision. Here's what we're gonna do. And there was a time where all we had was that. Guys, show me the first thing that we had. All we had was that. That's all we had. And in my heart, I was like, no. We're gonna have something better than that. So what did I do? I took Brian Arlene, I took my wife, I took Auntie Norma, I took Granny, and you know what? We went down, and who else did I take? I don't know. Anyway, that group. We went down, and we talked, and you know what? And we came up with something grander. That was your cue, grander. Listen, but how many know grander was more money? That original picture was going to cost $93,000 to build. By the time we got permits and all that stuff, $93,000. This is going to cost just for the structure, going to cost about $330,000. And I haven't added a bunch of stuff that furniture and a bunch of stuff, other stuff. Okay. You say, yeah, but Pastor, how are we going to do this? Here's how we're going to do it. See, what am I? I'm not. Listen, I don't freak out because this thing isn't done in 3 months. See, that's where that instant, you know what, potatoes mentality, it jacks you up. Because you don't, sometimes it takes a while for you to catch a hold and for you to accomplish what you're going to accomplish. But good leadership just understands, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep on pressing in. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm 28 years old and I'm not married yet. Okay, well, keep your standards high. Amen. You know, if you marry the frog, the prince won't be able to marry you. I didn't say you were sitting next to the frog. I didn't say that. Did I say that? No, it's on tape. I didn't say that. What I'm saying to you, and listen, man, this is the same way. You know what I mean? Just because she wants to go out with you doesn't mean you have to go out with her. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, be selective. Be selective. Say it with some attitude. Be selective. A leader is patient. A leader understands all I have to do is stay on the vision. Say that with me. All I have to do is stay on, just stay on the vision. But Pastor, I've been praying for my wife, and she just is still very difficult. Okay, can I give you a news flash, man? Maybe you are very difficult also. It's just... See, don't grow weary in doing good. Amen. And just couples here, understand this. Just do me a favor. If you would pay more attention on you and less attention on your spouse, things might turn around a lot quicker than you recognize. Most spouses are so sensitive to what their spouse is doing, and so, actually, to be honest with you, so critical about what their spouse is doing. And what we need to be is examine ourselves. Oh, praise the Lord. That's all for me. Okay. Amen. Leadership is the capability to translate vision into reality. A leader takes people where they want to go. A great leader takes people where they don't necessarily want to go, but they want to be. See, good leadership says, listen, you know what? $330,000 plus, you know what? Well, that's a lot of money for us to raise. Yeah, I know. But listen, at some point in time, when you are reaping the benefits from getting outside of yourself, you know, most people spend every penny they earn on themselves. And because of that, their life is so small. But when you start to learn the benefit of living life outside of yourself, you know what? And that's what leadership does. Leadership takes people not only where they want to go, but where they don't understand how important it is for them to go. And to do that, it's got to take a consistency to say, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Here's, you know what? When I first started showing you this, we probably raised only, you know what? In 3 months, we probably raised only maybe $7,000. Bum-ba-dum! We raised $7,000 in 3 months. Woo! Listen, that doesn't rock my boat. Why? Because good leadership is saying, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to get it done. And it might not all be done in 3 weeks, but we're going to get it done. Amen. See, we have a calling on our life. We have a responsibility to this community. Amen. We have responsibility to others that are going to go after us. Amen. How many know, guys, show the picture again. How many know, listen, this, how many know this thing, when they put those steel columns down, they put them deep. No, not that one, the good one. Yeah. How many know? These are all steel. They are going down deep, 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 deep. How many know when those things, you know what? You're not going to lean on that thing. It ain't going to fall over. Amen. How many know your grandkids aren't going to lean on it and fall over? Your great, great. How many know that thing is not going to erode in 100 years? See, so it's important to say, no, what we're doing is important. So it might take us a little time, but we're just going to keep on doing it till it gets done. Yeah. See, that's what leadership is. And listen, and it's the same thing in your family, same thing in your life, same thing in your business. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep on working, keep on doing, getting up every day saying, no, 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 not allowing all the naysayers to talk me out of what God has called me to do. And let me tell you, if you think this is important, this is nothing compared to the leadership that God has called you to raise up your family to love Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Number one, leadership is spiritual. Number two, leadership takes initiative. Number three, leadership is patient. Number four, leaders move the ball forward. I talked about much of this in my third point, but we're just saying, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. And listen, and in the course of life, you're going to have some setbacks.
Amen?
Yeah, that's
right. Let me tell you, when we were doing this, when we did this project cost us about, by the time we got done, just redoing this with all the sound and lighting and everything, cost about $200,000. But the original budget was for about $140,000. Because we just way underestimated how much lights and sound was going to cost us. Okay, and that's on me. But anyway, about $140,000. Well, I stood right back here. Bob was in that meeting, and we talked to, you know what, some city people, and we had already showed them the vision. We already went to the design people and had this all drawn up, and we were showing them this. And the one guy from the city looked up and he said, well, you know, yeah, we got no problem with any of this, except we got one problem, and it's a big problem. Well, he didn't say it, but I said it. Because to take this drywall off of the ceiling and get this effect of airiness, and, you know, if we had the ceiling, this would feel very confined and restrained. It just wouldn't be good. And that's what the designers told us. You got to take that off. And we took all the plumbing, all the electrical, and redid it all around, all the air conditioning all around. But to take that off, he said, you have an hour fire code the drywall. Thank you. And so it's a firewall. And so he said, if you take that off, the county fire is going to probably make you put sprinklers in that. So, okay, praise the Lord. We'll put a sprinkler. Yeah, and that's going to cost about $100,000. Just to put sprinklers are going to be almost double what the whole project is. And I was like, But see, what does leadership do? Leadership just moves the ball down the field. What did you do? I went home and I was just praying about it. And John, who built all this, he's going to build the outdoor project. He is a president of Servant Construction. They build all the Fresh and Easy's, all the Whole Foods. He's just an amazing builder. And he knew it right away. He said, well, can't we do something? He knew right away. He was here too. And the guy said, I don't know that there's any getting around that. And he said, Pastor, what did you do? I knew. What do you do? I don't know what to do. Here's what I know. I got to move the ball forward. So there was a guy that I met about 2 months earlier, and I called him, and I said, he was a architect, and I said, hey, do you know anything that you could maybe some kind of paint that's fireproof that the LA County would give us? He said, and then he texted me about, he said, no, I don't know anything. About 2 weeks later, he texted me a video of a company that made this paint that you put on the wood and it gives it like 10 hours of fire protection. I was so excited. What am I doing? I'm moving the ball forward. I'm figuring it out. See, that's what leadership does. Leadership understands this is what we're called to do, so I'm going to figure out how we're going to do it. In the midst of adversity, in the midst of a $100,000 problem, we got to find the solution. Well, what did you do? So I was so excited. I called another company. I said, hey, have you heard of this paint? They said, absolutely, just came out. We heard of it, and we'll come out and give you an estimate. I was so excited until I got the result of the estimate. Guess how much the result of the estimate was. Take a wild guess. How much it was going to cost? $100,000. True story. You know what? I got another company out to give me an estimate. That estimate came in. Guess how much that estimate came in at? $10,000. Today is a good day. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow
What? Come on, help me out. There'll be some. What am I doing? A good leader moves the ball down the court, the field. They figured out how to get it done. Amen. And just so you know what? I checked that paint coming in. That was the authorized paint that they were supposed to paint it with. Amen. Number five, a leader doesn't allow circumstances to derail him. Well, I'm getting ahead of the game, obviously, in my illustration. But that's what I did. You can't allow people or circumstances to talk you out of what God has called you to do. This happens in many marriages where they listen way too much to their friends telling them, you know what, you married the wrong guy. You married the wrong gal. Hey, listen, toughen up. You know what? You married a very imperfect person. Newsflash, amen. Come on, somebody. You know, I see these guys and they go, oh, look at her, she's so beautiful. Right? Hey, well, listen, newsflash. You know what? Yes, she's beautiful, but she's got a lot of imperfections. Amen? So you gotta work through all that. You know what? Unless you want to, you know, somebody help me out, a Janice Jackson marriage. You know what I mean? Janice? Janet? Okay, hey, I know what I'm talking about. Janice Joplin. Yeah, I don't even go there with me, okay? What is that? You know what? Bum, 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 bum. What? What have you done for me lately? Bum, bum, bum. That's a mentality. What, you know what? Well, what have you? No. Shutteth thou mouthest. and work on yourself. Man, you bring it. Be a leader. You're going to have diversity. You're going to have problems. There you go. Pioneer High School graduate. You're going to have problems, okay? You're going to have situations. So, you know what? Just toughen up a little bit. Recognize, you know what, that is life. You look at anyone that has accomplished something, you know, that's what they're going to have in their life. You know what you're going to see? You know what you're going to see? You're going to see all kinds of problems. Greg Rochelle, teaches wonderful stuff on leadership. Wonderful stuff on leadership. He's a wonderful pastor, and he pastors a church, but they have all these satellite churches all over the place. Just a phenomenal leader, phenomenal pastor. And his first satellite church, he says, was an epic failure. Wasn't a failure, it was an epic failure. But Greg says this. He says, but you know the truth? It really wasn't an epic failure because it was from the things that we learned in that failure that caused all these other satellites, and there's now a lot of them, a lot of satellite churches that he has, cause us to learn that all of these are so successful for what we learned from that. Watch this, all eyes up here, failure. See, you look at any leader, and you know what you're going to see in their past? You're going to see failure after failure after failure after failure, but their mentality isn't that these are failures. It's just a opportunity for us to learn from what's going on in life. See, you know what the difference is? The difference is their mentality. Most other people say, oh, you know what? They'll even blame God. Oh, this is good. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. They'll even blame God and say, oh, I guess that wasn't God's will. No, read your Bible. You know what? There are so many times when you will. You know what? People are so... You know, Eric, people are so silly. because they don't understand. They use things that they see in the Word of God, but they've got to read the whole counsel of God. Does God open doors? He opened doors all the time. But sometimes Paul would get to places where he knew he was called to go, and the door would be shut, and it was his responsibility to open the door. Is that not right?
Yes, yeah, right.
See, you're supposed to be led by your spirit, not by what you see. For the just shall live by faith. If God has called you to go through the door and the door is shut, then kick the door down. Do whatever you got to do. Get an axe. Get a shovel. You know what? Figure it out. But understand that just because this is shut, just because your marriage is difficult, you know, just because you've got a bad report from the doctor. Oh, the doctor said. Listen, oh my goodness, don't get me started. He's not God. Amen. Go home. You know what? Take some vitamins. But more importantly, you know what? Take communion. Take your covenant that God has called you, that by his stripes you are healed. Yes, that's what the doctor says. But you know what? Dr. Jesus says something else. Well, I don't think all that will happen. You think what you want to think, Jackson. If you want to exalt the doctor's word, then you can exalt the doctor's word. But the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Amen. How many hear what I'm saying? See, it's leadership. There's stuff that happens around you, but you just say, well, you know, I'm going to figure. I love what Paul said. Paul said, I'm going to, watch this. You talk about a good attitude. Paul said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Why would he say that? Here's why. He said, because, you know what? Because this infirmity, when I get through it, it shows, when I get healed, it shows how powerful God is. Remember, they're like, oh, it's so bad. You're locked up in chains, and this is awful, and we're so sorry for you. Paul's like, what are you talking about, sorry for me? There's now all these, he was locked up in prison, and there was all these leaders that now were getting, that he had influence, that normally he wouldn't have influence, but now he's got all these leaders that he was getting them saved. And then there was all these wimpy, there was all these wimpy Christians who, when Paul stood up and said, just like David, oh, I didn't tell you this part, one of the best parts, your leadership is explosive in that you will lead others by your example. David whoops up on Goliath, and if you keep on reading the story, you know what Goliath said? If I win, then we're going to take care of you. We will conquer you. If you win, then you'll conquer us. That was the agreement. Goliath was dead. They won. But for whatever reason, leadership is influence. All the Israelites, armies that were afraid of the Philistines, jumped over that wall and they ran them down. What am I saying? What I'm saying is, listen, your willingness not to listen to whatever the doctor said, whatever your neighbor said, whatever your uncle said about your health, about your business. Oh, you'll never own a business. It'll never. I'll tell you, praise the Lord. God is God. He's putting great things in you. He's putting great things for us to do. You say, well, it's not any big deal. I'm just teaching the four-year-olds. Are you kidding me? No. You are teaching the four-year-olds. I mean, what's going on in our country? Oh, I tell you what, there's probably really no higher position than over there in the nursery and the preschool. Amen. With the junk that they're trying to throw down our throats. Man, I tell you what, you better raise up your kids. You better get them to church, amen. You better pay attention to what's going on. Listen to me. You better pay attention with what they're trying to shove down our throats. And trying to, you know what, just boom, boom, boom. Oh, no. We know better than you. Oh, are you kidding me? They don't know better than us. Amen. Amen. And we don't need to be disrespectful, but we need to recognize your position. Amen. Are you learning something? Number six, a leader is confident. Listen to me. A leader is confident, but has a willingness to listen to others. See, this is interesting. You have to say, no, I understand this is important. I'm going to press and get this thing done. But listen, don't get arrogant. Some of the most wonderful leaders that I've had the privilege to meet are some of the most humble men and women that you'll ever meet. See, so you're understand your authority, you understand your positioning, but you're humble to recognize, oh my goodness, some of the best ideas that have come in this church, you know what, have not come from me. Okay, I'll give you another chance to act surprised on that, okay? I'll give you another, we'll rewind it, okay? Some of the best ideas that have come into this church haven't come from me. Did better, huh? Okay, listen. A good leader recognizes that they need to listen to people around them. And that, listen, leaders, and that doesn't mean that everyone around you is going to, tell you what to do, but you've got to have the humility to listen to them, or you'll miss out on some. You know, many times, God has done this to Tamara and I, He puts people around us that are just instrumental to, they have pieces of the puzzle. And you've got to allow them, you've got to be humble enough to allow them to put that piece in place. And that doesn't mean that they're always going to have the piece, but it means that you're at least listening to them to recognize. Just because you come up with an idea doesn't mean that we implement that idea. But a good leader will listen to that idea with the humility to recognize, oh my goodness, I don't know it all. I mean, I know some stuff, but I don't know it all. Amen. Amen. And finally, last but not least, listen, this is so important. You know, a leader understands how junk gets in his heart. How junk gets in his heart and has a game plan to fulfill that calling. How does junk get in your heart? Here's how junk gets in your heart. It gets in your heart. You know, protect your heart. Bible says in Psalms, with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. How does junk get in your heart? Two ways. Somebody say two ways. Okay. Through your eyes. Come on, everybody help me out. Everybody do this. Say through my eyes. Come on, do it. Everybody. Yeah, you're okay. This little light of mine. Okay. Through your eyes. And your ears. See? That's how it comes in. So a good leader understands that, and they protect their self with all diligence. They're not going to spend 8 hours on the phone, 2 hours on the phone, you know what, with those negative naysayers. People are always saying, you can't, it won't, it'll never, you know what, just face it. No, I'm sorry, I got to go. Let's try that. I'm sorry, I got to go. Gotta go. Why? Because I can't tolerate this. I can't afford it. It's gonna cost me too much me listening to you. It's gonna cost too much me watching that junk on TV. How many ever sit down, you're gonna watch a half an hour TV, 4.5 hours later? Amen. Like I don't watch very much TV. Oh, really? You know what I mean? Like that little cake that you ate, right? The slice of cake you ate. Like, no, I don't want a piece. I'm just gonna get sliced. You heard about the lady, and she was on a diet, and she had her whole family come over. She made a big cake for them. They ate half the cake, and that cake was like there. She was like, I'll let my husband eat it. And she walked by and was like, oh, okay, I'll just take a little slice. The cake was gone. So I said, oh, wasn't your husband bummed out when he came home? He said, why? He didn't even notice. How didn't he notice? Well, I made another and ate another half. How many know? We've got to recognize we sometimes will just sit down to watch a half an hour of TV, and we shouldn't even watch that half an hour junk. You say, Pastor, are you against TV? No. Just all the crazy programming that's on that TV. Yeah. No, really, guys. You can't just watch all this stuff. You listen, you can't watch all this death and killing and all this just junk and just like, no, I'm a happy person. You know, I'm a healthy person. You know, I eat donuts every day, but I'm healthy. Really? Okay. Does this make sense? See, a leader understands he only has one life, and he's got to protect. The main thing he's got to protect is his heart. So he recognizes, I can't put that junk intake, and I've got to meditate on the word day and night to observe to do all that's written, for then, this is what God told Joshua, for then, you know what, you're going to have good success. Matter of fact, look it up. The Bible says, then you will make your way prosperous. No. If God wants you to have a good life, he'll have it. If God wants you to have a bad life, he'll have it. That's not biblical. The Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you. They're life not of destruction. Amen? But for a future and a hope. That's what the Bible says. No. Start making good choices. Good choices. Somebody help me out. Good choices. Come on, somebody help me out. Good choices. Good life. Somebody help me out. Bad. Pastor, I don't know why my life is so jacked up. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe because you go to the honky-tonk for, you know what? And no, I'm just saying maybe if you, I'm just saying maybe that's not how you should, that's not where you should pick the next guy you go out with. I'm just saying. See, you've got to protect your heart with all diligence, for out of that is where it's going to flow. That's where the boundaries of life is going to be. How many hearing God speak to you? I'm asking. How many hear God speaking to you? Now, I don't know where you're at, but here's what I know. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I'm not talking about negativity. I'm just saying we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But for some of you, possibly, you need to ask Jesus in your heart right now, today. With every head bowed and every eyes closed. I'm going to dismiss you very soon. But with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you'd like to ask Jesus in your heart, we're going to say a simple prayer. It's going to be about 30 seconds. But we know that God's going to come into your heart if you ask him. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. If you want to accept Jesus, nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eyes closed. If you want to accept Jesus, just raise up your hand. We're going to say a prayer. Yes, thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands right down. Yes. Now let's say this together. We're going to ask Jesus in our heart. Say, Jesus. I know you're real. Come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. Oh, I'm sorry for running my own life. I want you to run my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, one more thing, one more prayer. If something spoke to you today that you were like, oh, I'm busted. Jesus reading my mail. With not every head bowed and every eyes closed, but with you just saying, Pastor, that was me. God spoke to me. I need to make some changes in my life. I need to be a better leader than I was. Raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Father, you see these hands that are up. Help us in any of these areas. If we need to be more spiritual, let us be more spiritual. If we need to not listen to other people so much, if we need to just be consistent, whatever you spoke to us, Father, help us. We thank you that this word was from you. You knew what we needed to hear today. So, Father, for these hands up, we thank you that you'll help us this week, this month, this year. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen.